الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the merciful, the compassionate. All praises to Allah, the creator of the universes and their sustainer, the provider of believers and unbelievers. And may his choicest blessings be on the seal of his prophets, the last of his messengers and his holy progeny. And in particular, may his incessant blessings ever continue to flow on the ninth successor to the holy prophet, on Imam Abu Ja'far Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Last night we were considering proofs of the Imamah of Imam Jawad alayhi salam, and we moved on from the time of the martyrdom of Rada alayhi salam to the time Ma'mun la'anatullahi alayhi called over the Imam alayhi salam to Baghdad. But even in that intervening period, as I said yesterday, a number of events placed to establish his imamah. For example, a group of people who had proceeded on pilgrimage in that year, on completion of pilgrimage, as is usual, moved on to Medina, and at Medina they attended the house of Ar-Ridha alayhi salam to meet his successor. And on arrival, they were made to meet Abdullah bin Ibn Ja'far, the brother of Imam Rida alayhi salam. And he claimed to be in place of Imam Rida alayhi salam. And so the pilgrims, particularly those from Qom, asked him a number of questions. He, of course, was not able to answer. Some he was not able to answer at all. Others he was not able to answer satisfactorily. And as a result, the pilgrims who were there were very dissatisfied, were assured that he was not Imam of the type they always knew an Imam to be. For example, there were those who were accustomed to Qadim alayhi salam and the way he answered those questions. And then Ar-Ridha alayhi salam himself and their servants were expecting that his successor would be a match for him and he would be able to perform and answer questions exactly as his father used to. But when they saw the brother, and the brother was not able to match Ar-Ridha alayhi salam, they obviously got very satisfied and stopped to leave. They saw that they haven't met their imam. And that happened. An announcer came out and said that the true successor to Ar-Ridha alayhi salam, that is his son, Muhammad ibn Ali ibn al-Jawad salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, will soon appear. And in no time he appeared, sat there. All the questions were repeated to him. And he answered them all, not only strictly and promptly, but he answered them all to their total satisfaction and in keeping with the precepts and the concept set out in the Holy Quran. So they notified that here truly is Imam alayhi salam. The word soon got round that they satisfied. Various other pilgrims then came over to see him and they too questions to him. In fact, it is saying in respect of another action that Imam Jawad alayhi salam held, that the session of two or three days, according to one hadith, according to another short time, he answered 30,000 questions that were to him. And all these questions were put to him in a fear that in his youthfulness, he had to satisfy the ummah that he truly was an imam. The arguments on youthhood discussed last night were also discussed in those sessions. But of course, were of no moment because his personality established all those facts. After the Imam alayhi salam was moved on to Baghdad, and as we saw yesterday, was then married to Umm al-Fadl, the daughter of Ma'mun, he remained in Baghdad for a full year. As you know, when a person marries a princess, he is expected to be in the palace, and he is expected to remain in that area. Indeed, if marriage leave alone princess, a person's daughter, the family that is affluent expects that the son-in-law will either stay them or at least bear them, and that they will be able to maintain the family and ensure that the daughter lives up to the standard which she was accustomed in father's house. But the position with Imam Jawad alayhi salam was different. He categorically refused to stay in the palace and said to Ma'mun, you knew what my father did. and keeping with the tradition, Sunnah of his father, Abdu will take a house of his own. Indeed, of Imam Jawari, salam, it was said, he rented his own premises. He did not even have a place in one of the outhouses of Dallas. His argument being, my father was appointed a parent. I am not an officer of the state, so I not only have my own accommodation, I pay for my own rent. And in that capacity then, he was able to reach the people. And the people of God, and indeed the whole of Iran now, kept visiting him at his house. Questions were asked, and he continued answering the questions. And indeed, in no time, the people of Iraq were not satisfied. Just as the people of Medina had been, there was indeed the legitimate successor to the Hood Prophet. And one of the factors, apart from the knowledge that he disseminated, that convinced them was his conduct. Mahmud always thought that one way to bring round Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam to a way of thinking of their size was to put them into the line of luxuries. He did not succeed with Ar-Ridha alayhi salam in any way at all. He was not only ascetic, not only did he teach ascetic, his whole life was completely ascetic. With the result that Mahmud, instead of succeeding to convert Imam alayhi salam, the reputation of the Imam alayhi salam was increased manifold. But as we discussed yesterday, the result was that upon the Masjid of Ar-Ridha alayhi salam, the people themselves rose against Mahmud, saying, you indeed are the person who assassinated Allah alayhi salam. And so Mahmud once again had to start the machinations that we discussed the night before last. He started his magicians to appease the Shia of the time by calling over Imam Jawad al-Islam and getting married to his daughter. Now he was able to say to the Shias, look, I have no animosity against you. I have given my daughter in marriage to your Imam, whom I have put forward in the court and given him an opportunity to prove his worth. An opportunity, as we discussed yesterday, question by question, the things that you ask, how he answered them, and indeed how he put forth his actions. Well, so, Mahmud, there's the part that he will then have appeased girls. Now the Shias, having gone and visited the Imam al-Islam, seen his work, they were able to see Imam Jawad al-Islam, indeed, a radical in his father, Ridha alayhi salam. They were able to see Ridha alayhi salam in the youthhood. Of Al-Jawad al-Islam, then 15, 16 years old, and no more. Then the people began to get confidence. Mahmud felt that his purpose was not being served. His purpose then was that I will pick Al-Jawad al-Islam in Baghdad, I will supply him with luxury of life, he will read royal life as prince married to the daughter of the Khalifa. And things will gradually begin to change. That royal way of life will lead away from spiritualism and from sexism. He got a younger man, and raw as he was, would be easier to hold despite the knowledge that he had already exhibited. The Mahmud proved totally false, because the Imam alayhi salam would live in the palace. He lived in a small house, entertaining people, answering questions, eating simple food, meeting good people who kept coming to his house, and they found in him the qualities that Ar-Ridha alayhi salam portrayed. I will not take you back to those, we discuss those on Sunday night. But the same pattern, poor people coming, joining him for a meal, indeed, his servants sit with him and eating with him, just as the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and Al-Ma'un gave himself time, but at the end of the full year, he found that Al-Jawad al-Islam had not changed in any manner at all. His mannerisms were exactly like those portrayed of the Holy Prophet, peace be on him and his progeny in the books, and indeed those of Ridha al-Islam. His etiquette was exactly the same. His worship was identical, long nights in prayer, and indeed, many a day of fasting. That was not the real place to which Umar Fadl was accustomed, and complained to Mahmud about it. I am not accustomed to life. Mahmud said, this is the way, this family is, and this is the way which you will have to accustom. Give us time, we will be able to mold him. Time was given, but time acted against Mahmud, Actually, Jesus Mammon in the sense that we began to see more and more of that ascension. More and more is getting nearer to Allah, and the Imam al-Salam had more and more opportunity to make a belief even the confines of his house. And because people from far and wide told him, if he could not access to them, they had access to him. But what the time when the visiting was, not only that depth of knowledge which he was prepared and willing to disseminate and teach that not to the people, thereby propagating the false education. But why did he do that? And the raising a hadith of the Holy Prophet, peace on him and his progeny, to the extent that those visited him started to convert his meeting into classes. And the classes held in Fadilatul Rasul began to be held in Baghdad, close to the palace of Mahmud, in which now discussions were taking place on Islamic matters, on the questions of fiqh, on the questions of aqid, and the answers were taken down and notes be made. Mahmud thought this was getting a little out of hand. Instead of converting Imam Jad into that kind of princely boy, as he was into me, Imam Jawad was converting his people into a state of mind which would lead them to the straight path in accordance with the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. About the same time when Mahmud began to feel this is a danger now, because soon people will turn around and say, if Ar-Ridha al-Islam was Ar-Khilafah, then why not offer Khilafah to his son who is equally competent? We have seen him, we have seen his mannerisms, we have seen his piety, we have seen his voice. There is no to equal him. Indeed, Mahmud would not resign on that fact. Yesterday, I set out his speeches, from which you could see how he praised Imam Jawad alayhi salam. Indeed, how he praised Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Said that indeed, first of them preached as the last of them would preach, and the last of them confirmed the preaching of the first. They were indeed attained. As indeed the imama is supposed to be. And this is exactly the point. Sahib Raja Adalallahu Farajahu. He makes a point in his dua and nuzba, mentioned by nuzba because it is regularly recited at least on Eid and on Fridays. And that dua and nuzba. As Sahib Raja Adalallahu Farajahu says, Ay al Hassani, Ay al Hussein. أين أبناء الخير الصادق مع الصادق الصالح مع الصالح الحجة عليه السلام says where is now الحسن where is الحسين and then he says where are the children of حسن الحسين where are أين أبناء الحسين and then give the qualifications الصالح مع الصالح والصالح مع الصالح each one of them a pure one succeeded only by a pure one no other qualification would succeed and a صالح one a pious one succeeded by a pious one that's what they saw in this connection that al-Jawad alayhi salam that with that truth with that pureness with that pious al-Ridha alayhi salam These leads are the qualifications which Mamun had jumped when he wanted to have Umm al-Fadl married to Imam Jawad alayhi salam and his coaches were opposing him. Well, so he found himself unable to cope with that personality of Jawad alayhi salam. And yet the people when they visited him found him humble. They thought they were visiting a prince, a person married to the daughter of the Khalifa. They found the simple man, a humble man, one living exactly in tune with the teaching of the Holy Prophet, peace be on him and his progeny. Right? Not sitting before them with heads and such, not sitting before them resting on the floor, just the kind of qualities they described of Imam alayhi salam. Mahmud now got worried. He now felt that the tide could well turn against him, and hence he began to suffer. And begin to send soundings that you prepared for Imam Jawad alayhi salam to move back to Medina. He thought he would have great peace with Imam alayhi salam in Medina at a distance from him. Not that it helped him much, as I hope we will discuss perhaps on Monday night. The revolution then took place. The political scenario that developed in the time of Imam Jawad alayhi salam, and how he coped with it. Where Imam Jawad alayhi salam had agenda slightly different from that of Imam Rana alayhi salam. And I hope we shall compare that on Monday night. But for the moment, when Mamun saw that time has come when he should strip al-Jawad alayhi salam for people of Iraq, he sent sounding that he would be amenable to al-Jawad alayhi salam moving to Lina. And Imam Jawad alayhi salam found that eminently suitable. He thought that he went back to Lina, he would be away from exodus, from the ages of Mahmud. He would be away from that magic field in which Mahmud was operating. And his activities were circumscribed because then he was under surveillance. He was under surveillance all the time. The pretext being that he is a prince and it's the duty of the state to protect the prince. And he was given guards, he refused to have. He said, nobody on my doorstep because our people to be able to enter freely and not be free, really put things beyond him list. So they couldn't keep guards, but they kept people out to keep them. The idea really was that he should not be able to become powerful. Mahmud trusting that he will not permit him the confidence that he required, confidence example that Rida alayhi salam would have had. Yet he wanted to take no risk. So he wanted to send Imam Jawad alayhi salam, as I said, found it clean, firstly because he would be away from all the surveillance. Secondly, this was more important for him, he would be able to go back to that madrasah, to that masjid in which Asfar and Al-Baqir were holding their classes. Those classes were now suspended because for a while Rida alayhi salam was not there. Although he resuscitated classes immediately on becoming Imam, and he used to go to the places to deliver his speeches. Despite his age, and that was four beating he had, which we discussed yesterday with Yahya bin Aqam. Yet, once he was brought into Baghdad, those classes suspended. To him, those classes were important because that was the center from which Islam was to flourish. That was the center from which Al-Baqir and Al-Fadir alayhi salam conducted their classes, and it was important that madrasa flourish. And indeed, his activities with his own, as you see on the night inshallah, was better arranged from Medina, was more facile to handle, particularly because pilgrims would come to Mecca. And so his people found easy to meet him from Mecca, going to Medina, convenient, because everybody goes to Medina to pay homage to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon and his progeny, and a number of things we arranged. Hence, he found it very convenient to move out at that particular time from Baghdad and resettle in Medina. As he decided he would move out, Amun stood here with full paraphernalia, his generals, his ministers, all escorted him up to what is called the Gate of Kufa. At the Gate of Kufa, they bid farewell, and the Imam alayhi salam, with no problem, move out of Baghdad back into Medina. But he only had to move out that place, and his miracle started. As he had shown his miracle before, as we saw what happened in the court of Mamun last night. However, just as he moved out from the bank, from the Gate of Kufa, time there, so he stopped at the house of Sayyid. Mosque there, he went to the mosque to say prayers. And he went to the mosque to say prayers, needed to make his ablution. He then went to a tree to make his ablution. The tree was a low tree, but a low tree which had withered. It's totally dry. It was not giving any fruits at all. Indeed, it didn't give up as a tree. There was but a trunk standing there. No. The Imam alayhi salam looked at it. He said he will have his wudu under that tree. He had his wudu under that tree, and the water from his wudu was all sprinkled into the roots. He went to say his mari. And all that was recorded. You can see interest people then already were taking in him. Because by then, his imamah was more than established to the satisfaction of the ummah. Indeed, it is recorded that in his number three rakat, in the first rakat after Surah Al-Imran, he recited Surah An-Nasr.
And in the second rak'ah after Surah Hamd, he recited Surah Ikhlas. And he made kunut in second prayer after Surah Ikhlas and before ruku. And all that was noted and observed. And then, having completed his prayers, he recited 4 rak'ah of nawafil. And I'm setting this out to give you an idea of how much time that would consume. Once he completes nawafil, he stops to continue his journey. By the time he came out of the mosque, the little tree had grown up, bunches were already there, fruits had flourished, and indeed, people started eating the roots and found them so sweet that the elder was saying that even in the time when this tree was flourishing, the roots were not as deep as they were now. The bad fare was that the Imam alayhi salam moved into Medina, and there in Medina again, the same masjids were set up. And students started coming back to those classes, and numerous ahadith are today reported, particularly on the tafsir of Quran from Imam Jawad alayhi salam. And he conducted these classes open to everybody, whoever wanted to come. Indeed, an author and a sadiq had done. But apart from that fact, he restarted his contacts with poor people of Medina, bring them in the early hours of night, as Sajjad alayhi salam had done, as Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam used to do, that propitiated contact with less fortunate people in society. Those who needed help were able to come to, and help was being given free, as everybody alayhi salam used to do. And indeed, all this in total humbleness and in total humility. There were a few consequences. For example, Umbul Fadl was not able to tolerate Darif at all. In the meantime, Imam Jawad alayhi salam decided he needed progeny. He needed progeny to fit the Imam alayhi salam. And he married a lady who was descendant of Umar Yasir. When that happened, Umbul Fadl became absolutely exasperated. And this time, she wrote a letter to her father, Mahmud, saying, I was complaining about simplicity with which Jawad alayhi salam lives. And you said that is the way of life to which I must be accustomed. And so I continued with life. Now he has gotten a lady in his life. This is a descendant of Ammar Yasir. And you remember the proximity Ammar Yasir had with Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Well, and so she complained to her father saying, please write him and get this sorted out. Mahmud was so helpless in the matter. And so he wrote a stern letter to his daughter saying, I have not got you married to Jawad alayhi salam, so let me prohibit him from that which I have made halal. And this is the last thing that I know he will do, make haram that which Allah has made halal. You must accept that this is in keeping with the law of Allah, and please not make complaints to me of this nature ever again in my life. He knew too well that he had to shut these doors to his daughter, otherwise these complaints would keep coming. Indeed, the matter was resuscitated, but after Mahmud's death, as I hope we will see on the night. So in the meantime, Umar Fadl gets satisfied but remains dissatisfied. This was a great gesture on part of Imam Jawad alayhi salam, because he was saying to those, his makeup, as I said, was to perpetuate his progeny, and it was through this illustrious, pious lady that Hadi alayhi salam was born. And so, this marriage was of importance to Al-Jawad alayhi salam. That is the main purpose of the marriage. There were other consequences also. The predominant of those subsidiary consequences is this, that it was very well known by Mahmud and by his courtiers, and indeed, by the Shias in the Shia world, and this was the most important part, that the Shias knew this. That when the Imams alayhi salam, and indeed when the Holy Prophet peace be on him, had a life of importance and significance, they did not marry another lady. For example, as you know, so long as Bibi Khadija alayhi salam was alive, the Holy Prophet never took another wife. Indeed, so long as Bibi Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha alive, Amir alayhi salam did not take another wife. But both of them, both the Holy Prophet and Hazrat Amir alayhi salam, after the departure of Bibi Khadija alayhi salam and her daughter, Bibi Fatima Zahra alayhi salam, respectively, they both married a number of wives. But not in their lifetime. And this was the custom with the Imams alayhi salam who followed. But with Al-Jawad alayhi salam, despite the fact that he married a princess who was living with him all the life, he decided he would marry another lady. Because he was making a magic categorical statement that the men of whom followed to him were men of a princess to him. And the worldly princess has no significance or import in life anymore. To him, that lady was like any other lady, and entitled to all rights in Islam's life. But no more, that is where her rights is. Not actually to the rights of the Khadija alayhi salam or the Fatima alayhi salam, for the reason that the status of those magnificent place was spiritual status. Theirs was a status which of proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the angels came down on them, that angels came down on Bibi Fatima alayhi salam. We have already discussed in 1990 at length. Sorry, in the year 2000 at length on that particular subject. There was no such comparison with Ummul Fadl at all, and he made that open statement as it were, that she is not at par with any person who I got as spiritual. The years of the time knew, therefore this is not an individual smear influenced by royalty or by the pedigree of the wife in any way at all. Indeed, he is spreading the sunnah of the Holy Prophet. And this is how he treated the ladies. Simplicity of life in the home, and both ladies, particularly Ummul Fadl, required to conform as a lady to those standards that an Islamic lady, Muslim lady, is supposed to satisfy. Hijab and all the necessary concomitants of being a Muslim lady were all applicable to Ummul Fadl, just as they were applicable to any other wife, any other Muslim lady in Medina. That did not suit Ummul Fadl at all. Yet she now decided, the Shias were able to see, that the Sunnah of the Prophet was strictly adhered to. And indeed, the poor were able to see, the Ummah were able to see, that all that required in an Imam was fully satisfied by Imam Rida alayhi salam in all its requirements. Indeed, this fact I put forward to you, and I have abridged it considerably because I want to move on to another subject if possible this evening, the extraordinary events that were found in the life of Imam Jarrah alayhi salam. But before I do that, I wish to sum up what I was saying of the akhlaqiyat of Imam Jarrah alayhi salam, just by saying this much, the crux of the matter I submitted to you last night. But to cut up all the additional matters I put forward there, and indeed to summarize also in a way what we discussed last, may I just finally say this, that these matters excellence of Al-Jawad alayhi salam that I have put forward to you, not confined the books of the Shaykhain as I mentioned last night. These are matters that are unanimously accepted by all Islamic scholars of that time and of day. Indeed, a number of leading Sunnite authors have subscribed to thoughts in their own books. For example, Ahmad bin Talha, a Shafi, he says in his particular book, Matalib al-Su'ul, at page 239, of Imam Jarrah alayhi salam, he says, وَإِنْ كَانَ لَغِيرُ سِنْ, he was indeed young in age. That is what he said. And you can see how franchise is that. وَإِنْ كَانَ لَغِيرُ سِنْ, he was young in age, فَهُوَ كَبِيرُ الْعَدُرُ صَغِيرُ السِّنِّ كَبِيرُ الْقَرْضِ, he was high in stakes and in his personality and in his vision, رَفِيعُ الْدَرْ, and elevated in his remembrance. Indeed, those words of Muhammad bin Talha al-Jafi are indeed repeated by Shatta al-Najuzi, repeated by Ibn Sabah al-Maliki, Ibn Sabah al-Maliki, and the reference that I put to you for, this is in Fusul al-Muhira, this particular reference at page 235. And he speaks those words, the Shafi'i saying, وَإِنْ كَانَ صَغِيرُ السِّنِّ فَهُوَ كَبِيرُ الْقَدْرِ رَفِيعُ الذِّكْرِ, article was repeated. And then he says, أَلْقَيْمُ الْإِمَامَةِ بَعْدَ عَلِيِّ بْنَ مُوسَى الرَّضَى الْوَلَدُ. Indeed, he was successor. Al-Qaim al-Imamah, he was the successor in the place of Al-Rida al-Islam, in the Islam of Imam Ghazali. So we can see that even these scholars, when they weighed these two personalities, found them apart, found Imam Jarrad alayhi salam well succeeding and well at par with Imam Ra alayhi salam in the matters of the Imamah. Young age, but high in status and in position. And he says, Abu Jafar Mahdi al-Jarrad, annasu alayhi wa irshad lahu biha, mi abih ma akhbar bidhalika jama'an min as-sirati al-udul. Indeed, that is proof that in respect to matters of irshad, in respect to matters of guidance, and in respect to the matters of nafs, that I discussed last night, in all those matters, we found that he was indeed in that sila, in that progeny of imamah. And that comes from that Maliki scholar in his work, Fusul al-Muhimma. But as I said, his work is Tadbiqul Khalas. And at page 358, he sets out the qualities of Imam Jarrad alayhi salam. He says, وَكَانَ عَلَى مِنْ هَاجِ أَبِيهِ فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالتَّقْوَى وَالزُّهْدِ وَالْلُّهِ. All those qualities of akhlaq you require an imam, is categorized, seriated. Indeed, these are not ma'ashari scholars. He is a leading sunnah scholar, and mentions those knowledges of the Imam and Salam, firstly setting out his knowledge, and then his taqwa, his study, his zub, his honest, and his charity, his Jew. All those called well set out there. And you find similar references and similar matters set out by Sheikh Muhammad Shehani, and in his work, again, leading work, Sirat Salah, a leading tonight work, that is set out, and you also see these set out in Sawaik and Mahrika, in Sayyidina Muhammad, at page 133 of Ibn Hajar and Nafsi. Indeed, in Wafayat al-Ayyan, Ibn al-Qar mentions him as one of the Imams who succeeded Ar-Ra alayhi salam. He says, Abu Ja'far Muhammad ibn Ali Ar-Ra, Ibn al-Kamil, Ibn Ja'far al-Saliq, Ibn Muhammad al-Baqir. No doubt now, who is the personality I'm talking about, because it's the full pedigree. Now he says, Al-Ma'roof bil-Jarrad. He was very well known as the title which we ascribe him. Al-A'immah ithna arab. Indeed, he was one of the 12 imams. So the point I'm laboring to make is that it is not that it is only our books, the Shia Ibn Ashr books, that guardian that color. Yesterday I quoted Tariq, which is a leading Sunnite book, but today I have quoted half a dozen of these Sunnite authors who have examined Imam Jarrad alayhi salam, some of them contemporaries. And come exactly to the same conclusion. This is why I said both the Khasa and the Amma, indeed the entire community of the time, saw him in the light. Indeed, a conclusion to which they could not differ. But the Sunnah writers mentioned his karama of the extraordinary events that's to face in his life. I wish to embark upon that tonight straight away, to save my little time tomorrow night. Maybe just a matter of two, perhaps just one matter, so I go to Masaid, but I do not want to delay. It's tonight, remember, the commander of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, al-Fadr al-Abbas, salawatullahi wa sallamu alayhi. But however, a parting note on Imam Jarrad alayhi salam, and this is as much set out in tonight's work as it is out in our work. And it comes from Ali ibn Khalid, that while he was in Samarra, it came to his knowledge, and it became generally known that Syria has been arrested, and has been over from Syria to Samarra. By then, this court is, of course, Baghdad. It's been shifted from Tus, Baghdad. But this event is in Samarra. And at that particular time, the allegation against his friend was that he professed to be a prophet, and hence the word too, like wildfire. Because when somebody professes to be a prophet, all the Muslims raise their shoulders and say, what is happening? Have you been arrested, and what is going to happen next? What is exactly his claim? But the governor at that time, Ziyad, Muhammad bin Ziyad, and he said, we will lock him up. So he's locked him up. Ali bin Khalid said, I thought this is a little stretch. So he defended the warden of the prison and decided that he would go and visit. Would go and visit this one. He did. And when he visited the Syrian said, I have never claimed prophet. I am indeed an ardent Muslim. And he accepts what Quran says, that our prophet was indeed Khatil Anbiya. He was the last and the seed of the prophets. There's no question about it. So Ali says, then why have I arrested you? Why are you here? And he said, I am only for sending the troops in favor of Al-Jawar alayhi salam, who they perhaps do not like, and they do not like in these places of Al-Jawar alayhi salam. I, being naive on that particular point, say this truth, and I say this truth, it is the subject of my earth. So Ali, by the way, was a Zaydi. He wasn't a Nashiri, he was a Zaydi Shia. So he said to him, tell me what exactly did you say and exactly happened. And he said, I have been accustomed for a number of years to spend long nights in prayer, but I do not spend those long nights in prayer at home. I always go to Masjid Amr, and inshallah we've all been to that. And inshallah, may Allah make it possible for us all to go to Sham once again for the mouth of the Zainab alayhi salam. So he says, I would go to that mosque. Not that I wanted to pray in the Ali mosque, but I always say a place where the head of Imam Hussain alayhi salam was kept. And when we go to Amrawi mosque, you remember, there is that place which we are shown on, the head of Imam Hussain alayhi salam was placed, and as you know, it is our custom that when we get that place, we always recite Ziyarat-e-Waris. Recite Ziyarat-e-Waris, there is a place where we recite our staff, and then part for a place after we take courtesy and homage to it, only for the reason that the sar of Imam Hussain alayhi salam was kept there. A place there of consecrated. A place where Allah accepts prayers. So this is Syrian mosque too. And he always went there and prayed near the head of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. What wonder that it may be for that reason that the account I am now going to put before you ever occurred. The next thing that happened was that one night as I was immersed in my prayers, and I always was because I wasn't concerned with what was going on around me, I suddenly saw a person standing in front of me. And I complete my prayers, and he completed my prayer, I looked at him, and he smiled at me. When I looked at him, awe entered my body, and I could see that the zuhud, the piety, the taqwa of this personality was far beyond that I noticed in any other person. Young though he looked, but the depth of piety was most inspiring and impressionable. And indeed, I saw brilliance from his countenance, from his face. So I stood up out of cursing. And when I stood up, only to extend courtesy to him and shake hands with him, he turns round me and says, why don't you come along with me? And the Muslim says, I knew to know him at all. And maybe another person might think I did a fish thing just to accompany him. But the reverence of the personality was such that you would not do anything other than what he asked you to do. And out of sheer respect, and for no other reason, I moved out with him. And he held my hand for a while. And I saw him moving out of Damascus. Having moved out in a few moments, I suddenly saw myself in the mosque of Kufa. I looked around, I said, this is the mark of Kufa. He turned around to me, smiled again, and he smiled back. And he says, well, do you know who we are? And I say, Sayyid, I know. This is not the Kufa, is it not? He said, yes. He said, I wanted to come here to pray. And as I saw you also in prayer, I thought you too might like to pray in Masjid al-Kufa. And this man says, Sayyid, what great honor can I have then have this opportunity of staying in this majestic mosque? So we prayed. He prayed and I prayed. And after a while he stood up again. And when he stood up, I stood up. And we moved out of the Sahan Masjid al-Kufa. We moved out of the Sahan Masjid al-Kufa. He turns around to me and said, let us now go to another mosque. And we prayed in another mosque. What does a pious man do other than move from mosque to mosque and pray all night? Indeed, that was his conduct in Baghdad, that was his conduct in Medina.
lucky rich experience we have his company. So he held my hand again, and it was necessary because could not otherwise have moved the door. He held my hand. We moved. Suddenly he left my hand. I saw myself. He must have been away. Now in dinner, turns round to me and says, "You know where you are, don't you?" And I turn round and say, "Yes, the red grave of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny," and says, "Salamu alayka ya Rasulullah." Well, he says, "Let the best manner of the Holy Prophet and pray here." So we both prayed at mosque. After a while, he comes back to me. So I stand again. And we moved out through the Sahan, moved out of Masjid an-Nabawi. He then says to me, "Let us go to another mosque. The night is still young. We can do another mosque." And I said, "Sayyidi, I am at your disposal." He held my hand. We moved. And this time I see the Kaaba in front of me. And he says, "Let us make a tawaf as we are here." So we made tawaf. And then we went to Ibrahim and he said, "Let us pray there as well." So we prayed there as well. And having prayed there, a time came when he can come in. So we moved out of the well of Masjid al-Haram. And as we were out, he held my hand again. And where do I see myself? Back in the Masjid, in Masjid al-Amawi. And when I saw myself there, I said, "Really, we are in Masjid al-Amawi." And all he replied was, "Yes." He took me exactly to the place where I was saying prayers. And as I stood in my place, he shook hands with me, said, "Fi amanillah," and away he went. I did not even have the courage to stop and ask him, "But who are you?" Away he went. And when he went away, he lamented. But then I said, "This is a gift from Allah, that I should have done 4 mosques, one in which I am, 3 mosques in a night. If Allah has given me that much, for me, if I don't know his name, I know a waliullah, at least waliullah, so that he should be able to take me in the safe to these auspicious places where I could pray on in that night." Continued my prayers day in, day out. The year followed exactly that happened. He came again, and he came again. Of course, I stood up. Now I knew what was going to happen. And again, we left Damascus. Masjid al-Kufa, I prayed to Masjid al-Nabawi, made the salutation, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, his progeny. I prayed, went to Kaaba, made the tawaf, and back to the Amawi. This time, I was a little girl. As he shaved, you can bring me to say, "Fi amanillah," I held his hand. And I say, by the one who has given this power, and in one night, you move from Damascus to Kufa, from Kufa to Medina, from Medina to Makkah, back to Damascus. Not only that power is great, he can give you, but he gives you the power to be able to take me along with you. How much grace has Allah bestowed on you? By the power of him who gave you this power, as he tells me what your name is. And he says to me, "My name is Muhammad bin Ali, bin Musa, bin Ja'far, bin Muhammad, bin Ali, bin Hussein, bin Ali, bin Abi Talib, salatullah wa salam alayhi wa sallam." And so saying, he removed his hand from my hand and went away. No more question asked. And he says, "Ali, I should have contained myself. I should have been able to digest this mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I couldn't. I did not have the capacity to assimilate it. And I told you people, this is what happened. And this is truly the stress of Muhammad bin Ali ibn Jawad, salawatullahi wa sallamu alayhi." So we went round, and the government, the Baskets came to of this. So he was news, and they came and arrested me. This is all I have said. And what I have said is absolute truth. Never did I claim to be a prophet. I visited him with Allah, alayhi salam, saluted and prayed at his bedside. And do that today and recite one as a book read on the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, as the seal of the prophets. So Ali said, "I knew the government." And I told him, "I will write a letter to him." And that's why I wrote a full letter to the governor, setting out the facts. Not that the governor did not have the facts. When he got the intelligence, he knew exactly who this person had to. This
they falsified.
They concocted this claim of the Syrian that claimed to be a prophet. But be that as it is, when this letter reaches government, he writes on the reverse. Muhammad al-Zayyat writes to Ali bin Khalid on the reverse. He says, why are you writing this letter to me? Ask him to ask that very person who in one night moved from Damascus to Kufa, from Kufa to Medina, to Mecca and back to Damascus. He should be able to get him released. And Ali bin Khalid said, when I received that letter, I wept. I said, how rude can the man get? And how arrogant can he get? I don't know what to do. So I paused to think. After a few hours, I say to myself, it's not fair. I have given hope to the Syrian that he writes to the governor. It behoves me to go report back to him. I will not go and tell him what this governor has written, because it is just arrogant. But go and tell him that I have written the letter. The Lord is great, and inshallah, Allah will find a way out for you. And I said, I'll go and bring words of solace. When I go to the prison, the day I received that letter, when I go to prison, there is a lot of hullabaloo there, the army is there, police are there. So I go and ask them what has happened. People appear to be in confusion. Suddenly I saw the warden who asked me to go and see the Syrians. So I quietly went in and said, what is happening? He said, don't ask. He said, what are you troubled? What has happened? He said, you remember that man? I asked you to come in. He said, yes. But we had chained him. Ali bin Khalid said, yes, you had taken him in chains. Chains he had disappeared. There is no bread at all. The gates are closed. There is all locks are intact. The roof isn't. Indeed, the chain is intact. The chain is there on the floor. And the man has gone. Ali bin Khalid said, the woman may never know. I knew that the man who took him from Damascus to Kufa, to Medina, to Mecca, back to Damascus was the very person who must indeed be taken out of that prison. Are these challenges that Gara of a Khalif can give out to any man of the time? In the time, in the time, the Imam alayhi salam act, and the glory part of it is that he did not even write to the Imam alayhi salam. The Imam alayhi salam was then in Medina, he was informed of the event. But indeed, it did take this one from Damascus to Kufa, Medina, and back. He would exactly know what the person was doing, where he was, and what the governor had written about him. But this was the personality of these individuals. And such indeed was the personality of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But Imam Hussein alayhi salam's policy in Karbala was a different one. It was not a policy of fighting to win war, because he felt winning the war may have just got the kind of consequences that prevailed in the time of his last father. He therefore decided that the winning of the battle lay in losing war and lay in martyrdom. Hence Abbas alayhi salam was not allowed to go to fight. Since dawn on the day of Ashura, Abbas alayhi salam went to Imam Hussein alayhi salam saying, Mawla, let me go, let me give him a taste of his sword. Then they will come, then Yazid will come to know what it means to fight Al-Husayn alayhi salam. And I'll fish this cowardly in no time. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is Abbas, you are my commander. I cannot let you go at so early a time. Like other companions who fought the battle, we will go with your offer. A few hours later, Abbas goes back to Al-Husayn and says, Mawla, let me go now. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, Abbas, not now. You are my commander. But the time comes when Abbas goes to the Imam alayhi salam and says, you keep telling me you are my commander. Where is now the army of which I am commander? All your companions have gone. The descendants have gone. Abu and Muhammad gone. Qasim has gone. Where is the island? Let me go now. This is the time for me to go and fight. My father used to tell me, that I'm going to be his representative in Karbala. Let me have a chance to satisfy my father that I indeed was. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam said, Abbas, you were here to me exactly how the world today only brought peace upon him. You do not need satisfying anything above all patience. Yes, I and I will fight together when I decide to take Wilson. I take you along. We brothers will fight together and show this and this how we can fight it out. The last day is my last. Let me go before you. I must save you. I cannot allow one step forward you want to have a life. Look at that lady and mother of the lady. And only we in the mirror that he now comes along and to go out of the mouth. We are so happy. The children are so thirsty. They have brought my water skin. I have a message. Can you please go and have this water skin? This mess filled with water to her. I promise the children that I have coming to you. I only come that Abbas will now come back to have water. My uncle will now come back to have water. Indeed, I've asked them to sit and pray. You go and get that water. Now Abbas alayhi salam looks at Abbas alayhi salam. And Imam Hussain alayhi salam looks at Abbas alayhi salam. And last exchange of ages between the two loving brothers. And indeed, Imam Hussain alayhi salam also at the past and says, Abbas, follow the instructions for your knees. Go and get water and take the sword out of the sheath. Abbas looks at Imam Hussain, says, that is my sword. And he says, yes, indeed. Take this spear, you are not going to stop. Now we will fight together. Take this up. The spear is enough for you. And Abbas goes, that with that spear, in the thinking of an eye, Abbas conquers for us and horses in the water. Indeed, Abbas takes the water in the pump. The water drops, takes another pump. And we are saying to the two youngsters, take over in the sun, you could never have stopped the living water. We decided to have water. This is all with the prayer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Hussein is hearing these martyrs. Tell his horse, you will give water. Tell them to lay to a rush. کہ بہت ہی شرط ہے ہم علی محمد کے پانی حرام ہے اسے بھی کچھ یو ڈرنک دو کیا دے ہوس چیلڈرن اینڈ سے یو آر سام آف ڈرنکنگ ہی سے فور اس دی سلن فور دی پروفیٹ دس واٹر ٹو دی حرام آئی کین ڈرنک اٹ فل دی نیس اینڈ کم ڈاؤن بٹ ایز ہی کمز آؤٹ اینڈ ویرمنٹلی فائٹ those curse you that so long as the arms of Abbas are alive, they were not going to survive. And the arms are covered, one arm on one side, another on the other. But look at the banner of Abbas. As that happens, he moved with one arm, he moved the other to the other arm, and with the match with it, when those arms left, he clapped the other to his chest. That's the arm of Islam. So long as Abbas was afraid that Adam was going to be lost, that Adam was not going to fall. Indeed, he clasped his mask with his feet. But then came the arrow, the arrow that pierced that particular mesh, and a water fell from that mesh. So he died, fall from Abbas and Islam, before he can think again, and a tear on his head, and Abbas now falls on the ground. The last prayer we fell on the ground. The arms of Abbas, the hand of Abbas. Indeed, as he fell on the ground, he has just found today that he actually dead. But the arms on the ground saying, As-salamu alayka, Ya Abdullah, Imam Hussain alayhi salam, get to the body of Abbas alayhi salam, turn round to us alayhi salam and pray to Abbas. We will fight together on Monday night, inshallah, more of that. But Abbas says, Shaydi, my time is up. I want to go clean my eyes because there is blood in my eyes. And indeed, when Imam Hussain says, I'm clear of blood from his eyes. And Abbas says, is As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. My salam to you, O Allah, my salam to you. This all while I want my eyes there so that my dreams
My heart cleansed me, Lord. When I was born, I said, Yosiana. As a parent, I was named Yosiana. But what will say, man, I say, your children, the mask is in life, the mask is empty. That he turns round to the children and says, children, a party mask is back, but my uncle is master. Otherwise, I would have given you what?
Allah, I'm not going to be.